Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. It is such a blessing to be here with all of you folks. We are here to share what your investment to Family First has been doing. And we thank you for all your support. We thank you for all your prayers. And we're just excited to be here because our passion is mothers, youth, and families. And because you have filled baby bottles for us, this is going to go towards mothers, youth, and families. And we're excited to let you know that in the past year, we have given out double the diapers than we have in years past. And COVID or not, we're still busy. And we're excited to see what the Lord has done. And with the families and the youth that have been coming in, we have three teens that graduated, that are going to graduate this May with honors and off to their future plans in college. And you were part of the scholarship fund that we had given to each one of our seniors. So we thank the Lord for that. Usually it's just one senior that we support, but this year was three seniors. So we're excited about that. We've done more Bible studies with our moms this year as the pandemic sort of relaxed, maybe. We had moms coming in, and we had to change some of our format and how we did our classes through YouTube videos, phone classes, also online classes with Focus on the Family. I think some of you may know Focus on the Family. And we've done that with parenting, empowering moms and encouraging moms while they're stay at home with the kids and teaching them and not going to work. Some of our moms lost their jobs because they had to stay home with their kids. So we in turn reached out to our moms to encourage them and lift them up and pray with them over the phone. And now they're coming in for Bible study. And we have one mom that has a 16-year-old, twins, and a 4-year-old boy. And she comes in every Wednesday for Bible study, and she goes home to teach her 16-year-old son. So we're not only doing it for the parents, but they're going home and teaching their kids. So we're excited about that. We have had to change our story time program around. Instead of having the kids come in on Wednesday morning, which we would have like about 5 to 8 kids with the parents, we now have 21 parents and 43 kids that we're teaching and encouraging and ministering through project pamphlets. And what we do is our volunteers put together art projects. Our April one was for Easter, so they had to plant seeds and watch the seeds grow. And our teen did stories about the creation and put the scripture in there for the kids, for the parents to read to the kids. Plus, I recorded the resurrection story and send it through all the mom's phones. So they will have that continually for the kids to hear. We did a Easter parade through our parking lot, which the kids got their Easter baskets and everything like that. So we are definitely busier, and continuing reaching out in the community, collaborating with several other agencies in town to reach out for more kids, encourage them, keep them in school, and developing relationships with more churches. And we thank you very much for supporting us, because what we're doing with our families in Oracle, Mammoth, Salmonwell, Dudleyville, or Winkleman and Kearney is all what you're helping us with. And so I'm going to give it to my husband.
Well, thank you, Claire. Don't get too worried. I always put my stuff down on notes. Claire makes me do that, or otherwise I get a little crazy and get too long, so I don't want to do that for you this morning. But good morning. What a privilege it is for Claire and I to be here this morning. And I know Claire mentioned about the diapers. We have two centers, one in Oracle, Arizona, one in Winkleman, Arizona. And normally on a, whatever normal is anymore, but we might go through a couple hundred diapers here or there a month, something like that. As of March of last year, when kind of things got a little crazy, to March of this year, we gave out over 40,000 diapers. And, you know, our store is this little square in the corner of each one of our centers, and where how 40,000 diapers came and went through, I don't know, but that's in addition to clothes and baby food, baby cribs and blankets and all those types of things. And but we were averaging $4,000 to $5,000 per month going out in material assistance to help in the families. So Claire and our staff of volunteers are very busy. But I want to thank all of you for letting us share a little bit today. I'll try to keep it brief. Thank you, Pastor Henry. I don't have to tell you what a crazy year it's been this past year. You know, between the COVID, the politics, you know, you don't even want to go there. But I don't know if it's just me, but it seemed like things are getting a little crazy. I mean, people are nutso. I mean, maybe Claire was saying not me, but I thank God for his faithfulness, the faithfulness of his word, and the faithfulness of all of you, his people. And I'm going to throw out a couple of scriptures, ones that I'm sure you all know, Romans 8:28, you know, where the scripture says, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. And I like that little three letter word there, all, you know, for you Greek scholars there, you know, it's been translated to us from a word that means all. So it's like the big all, you know, it basically means what it says, but basically everything. And that's how God is. But did you notice that the word that God is the one that causes, God causes all things to work for good, you know, and good and working together. And I don't know if another something thing I noticed in the past year, this is kind of a day and age now where nothing and nobody works together. Did you notice that, how hard it is for people to work together? But it's good to know that we have a God. We have a God who is faithful. We have a God who causes. He actually works hard. He causes all things to work together for good to those of us who love God. And, you know, and it's those of us that are called according to his purpose. And, you know, I'm convinced you'd not be sitting here this morning that if you didn't love God. Who else is going to crawl out on a Sunday morning, you know, when you could be doing other things? But I know this is his purpose for you today, to be right here, right now, hearing him tell you again from his word that you, all of us collectively, are the church. You are my church. You love me. You know, I am your God. I love you. You know, if you don't pick up nothing else this morning, know that God loves you. But God is there telling you, I will make things work for you. That's how our God is. That's who God is. I will make things work for you. And no matter all this stuff going on, forget it. God's making things work for you. And I just don't want you to forget that. We need to remind ourselves that every day, especially these days. I have to admit myself, early on in this COVID mess, I had concerning, not saying fear, and we can't say fear here, Pastor, and Pastor Henry's probably, no fear in the church. No, we can't say that, but we know where that fear comes from. You know, isn't it just like the devil? He wants us to be in a constant state of fear. And I'm convinced that that's what this thing was all about, just the devil out there trying to rob us of the joy and the peace, you know, that's promised us here in God's Word. And you know how it happens. You know, it's in the mind. You know, thoughts keep coming in. For me, I kept thinking, you know, as we had to close down the center for, 2 months, I think we actually closed the doors and we did everything curbside. But all we kept hearing, whoa, people are sick. People out there are sick and they're dying. People are out of work. You know, and of course, my thoughts, oh boy, they're going to stop support and we're not going to be able to help anybody. You know, we can't do fundraisers. You know, oh my gosh, we can't do anything, you know. But God reminded me that He can. You know, when we think we can't do anything, that's a great place to be. Because we're open then for God to do something. Philippians 4:19, again, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory and in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 9:8, again, God is able to make all grace abound. Isn't that nice? We have God, all the grace that we have to you, that's to us. That always having all sufficiency, that's that all again, in everything. All sufficiency in everything. I think God's covered it there. But that you may have an abundance for every good deed. And God has showed us, you know, as He always does, He showed me that He is still able. And He is always able. And you know, He did that through all of you here. And that's all the word I want to bring here this morning as we thank you, you know, for the church here. God has worked through you collectively, all of you. His grace has abounded, you know, that word abounded. That's just neat. But it's abounded through you, through all of you. And we thank you for it. We thank God for all of you and your continued support. And you enabled us, you know, as we're enabled, God is able, and you enabled us to, again, reach farther and further out into the rural communities out here in Arizona. The needs have been great these past year or two. And as Claire mentioned, even being shut down during the pandemic here, that, you know, we did a lot of curbside business with our clients, but God enabled us to do more. Instead of less, we were able to do more. But as she mentioned, we did things differently, more online, more on the telephone. God helped us to be creative. And I want to leave you with that here this morning. Be open. Be open for God, number one, for God to use you, but be open for God to use you in a creative way, a creative and new and different way. And, you know, the world may have changed. I'm convinced the world did actually change this last year. And well, we know it's because God has a plan and it's His purpose. But God will enable us, continue to enable all of us in new ways to reach out to this ever-changing world, you know, that so desperately needs Him. But thank God that even though the world has changed, God has not. His word is still true. His word says He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He continues to cause, you know, He works, makes things work together for good to those who love Him. And, you know, isn't that just another good reason to love God? Well, thank you, Pastor Henry. Thank you, church. Claire, you have a word there?
I forgot to mention this scripture before, but in Psalms 46, 1 and 2, it says, God is our refuge and our strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear, even if earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. And that's the scripture that we hung on to, because no matter what was going on in the world around us, we took refuge in our God, and He gave us strength to continue on the work that He had purposed in our heart. And you guys supported us, and you helped us through, and we are praying for you guys to continue to have that refuge and strength in our God. Amen.
I loved how much you guys talked about going through, just seeing, knowing who He is in our lives, and regardless of what's happening around us, remembering that and saying, I'm just going to keep pressing forward. That's what this song is about. Not everything in your life is always going to go perfect, and that's okay. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean your life becomes easy. It just means that you got answers that you didn't have before. It means that you have a foundation that you can stand upon. It means that when things come against you, you know that you're already a victor in His name. You're a conqueror in all things because He tells you that there's nothing that's impossible with Him. So when sickness comes against you, you stand against it and you say, stop. This is against what God says in my life. And I'm standing on the word that tells me that by your stripes, I have already been healed. It's those moments that sadness comes in and you say, stop. Because the word says that I have joy. Joy that is unexplainable. And that there's no reason that depression, hurt, anything should be in my life. Ooh, they're promises. They're promises that you can stand on a regular basis. When you see the storm, when you see the waves crashing around you, it's your moment. It's your moment to stand in faith and say, regardless of what I see, I know what you've promised. It's something the church is really gonna have to get doing. Because as the world changes, there's so much more uncertainty. But the one thing that we are certain about is who our Father is. We should be in the Word enough that we know the promises. So that when things come against us, those are tools. It's like, just like the armor of God talks about. It's knowing that you have all of those things there prepared for battle. Because the battle is not ours, but belongs to Him. So if it belongs to Him, why are we trying to fight battles with the worldly things? Why are we trying to do it on our own? The Bible says, count it all joy. Why? Because it doesn't matter if it seems bad coming against you. What He's placed within you, what He's given you in your life is good. There's not anything that He did where He set you up to fail. Man, He is the potter. He knew exactly what He was sculpting you and creating you for. And it was greatness, nothing less. So when things come against you in your life, it's your moment to know, these promises you gave me, they're real. And I'm gonna stand on them. And I'm not gonna let go. I'm not gonna move from this position until I see that promise come through. Because it's not just the fact that we know them, it's putting them into practice in our life. Let me tell you, I'm a business owner that saw a lot of small businesses doing the same exact thing I did that I'm doing, just go under. And it was scary because there was no true answer of exactly what was gonna happen. I can't tell you the amount of times that we came down to the point where we were like, we don't know how we're gonna pay anything. So God, we need you to do something. And every time He provided what was needed. That's the thing. It's when things come against you in your life, realizing that those things that He's placed within you, that He's written upon your heart, they're there for a reason. We're not meant to just read the Bible and never put it to practice in our life. The things He speaks to you about, the things that He gives you, even the things that happen in your life are there for a reason. Because He tells us, precept upon precept, line upon line, He's building you. He's building you and bringing you to a place where all of those things He's placed within you just begin to come forth. Oh, so be encouraged today. realize I have victory. I am more than a conqueror. You've told me these things. It doesn't matter what comes against my life because I know you've already taken care of it. Stand on it. Let's go back into this song and let's do some rejoicing. Let's rejoice like we've already won because we have. Let me tell you that when you feel the most down, if you can allow God to move in your life and worship, there's a breakthrough that happens in it. It's just amazing how there's been times where it's like, man, I feel so run down that I don't feel like going to church, God. But when you go, you'll notice it's the one time He speaks to you even more because you put aside what you want and said it's all about you. So this morning, let's do that. Let's get excited about what He's doing. Let's be excited that we got promises that tell us that we are more than conquerors.
I just want to add to what Rebecca said. I just want to add this verse. It says, Ephesians 3:20 says that you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do, and my version is, great and mighty things here on this earth that He prepared in advance for you to do. So even before, when you were in your mother's womb, even before the foundations of the earth, He created you to do great and mighty things. Get that in your mind, because even before the earth was formed, He created you, mijo, to do great and mighty things. And if you have breath in you, then you can praise the Lord. You can worship the Lord. I just want to say a real quick testimony. In July of 2019, I was in the hospital and I almost died. And I couldn't do anything. I couldn't get up off of my bed. I couldn't go to the ladies' room. I couldn't do anything. I was spiraling into depression. I could feel myself spiraling. There was a lot of things happening, but I could emotionally and mentally feel myself spiraling into depression. And I told my husband, just put me in a home and leave me alone. Don't do anything. Just leave me there. And he said, I'm not going to leave you there. I'm not going to do that to you. He said, what do you want? I said, I want to go home. No, he said, do you want to go home? And I said, yes, I do, but I can't. I said, I'm an invalid. I can't do anything. You have to do everything for me, and you're going to have to quit your job. And I mean, it was bad. Anyhow, he said, Sylvia, let's just worship. Let's just praise Him. So that's what we did. We were in the hospital room together, and we just started worshiping Him. We started praising Him. And guess what happened? The joy of the Lord came in. The joy of the Lord just came into our room. And I was just worshiping Him and thanking Him. And I said, God, thank You. And He brought hope into my life again. And then after we prayed, I said, okay, Rick, I said, let's test this. And he said, okay. I said, help me get up off of the bed. I couldn't get up. He said, okay. So he got me up and had a walker there for me. I got and I started walking on the walker, and I walked to the ladies' room. That was huge because I couldn't do anything. And then I started walking down, he put me to bed and prayed. Oh, wait a minute. The thing is the verse in the Bible that said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what God gave me. He gave me joy and He gave me strength. And that verse came so alive to me. The joy of the Lord is your strength, Sylvia. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So he put me to bed, and the next day I'm walking some more, and we're calling my daughter. My daughter, she's dealing with insurance stuff, and Rick goes, your mom's coming home. And she said, what? And he said, yes, your mom's coming home. She came to the hospital. She said, it's a miracle, Mom. Thank you, Jesus. So I just want to say that miracle, because if you have breath and you're going through whatever, just worship him. Amen. And praise him, and let the joy of the Lord come into you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I was praising the Lord, and this scripture came to me. I think you guys all know it. It's Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth, I can't read the rest, and the truth endureth to all generations. Praise the Lord.
I've been feeling this in my heart for a few moments, and as we were worshiping, it sounded like a room full of 1,000 people in here. The worship that's coming forth from your mouths today, from your hearts today, is reaching the throne room of the Father. And we may seem like we're a lot of empty chairs. They're not empty. There's angels worshiping with us. And I know that what's coming forth from this group of people is right now the Father is smiling upon us. And just put your trust that whatever it is that you're concerned, worry about concern. Because when you make him the focus, and you worship genuinely, everything else is going to fall into place. So just stand and worship and just love him and give him your heart.
The Lord has been speaking to me for 2 days in a row about a great storm coming. And I said, What kind of storm? And he said, prepare, prepare, prepare. And I said, Lord, what do I need to prepare for? He said, tell my people the storm is coming, that you are to be prepared. Prepare in me. Worship me and praise me. Speak out my holy name. Walk with me. And then he reminded me about Peter. There was a storm, and they were afraid. And in the middle of the storm, they saw a ghost. At least they thought it was a ghost. On top of all that fear, now there's a ghost. But it was the Lord walking in the storm. And Peter, his heart was right. He was ready. But he asked the Lord, Lord, can I come out to be with you? I'm paraphrasing. And the Lord said, come. And he stepped out of the boat. He stepped into the storm. Even though he had fear, he was prepared for the storm. He was the one who had the relationship with the Lord. And the Lord said, come. And he walked and did the impossible. He walked on the water. But once he took his eyes off the Lord, he was right there and he sunk. But the Lord saved him. He will save us from the storm. We talked about being under the protection of God today. We are under His protection, but He wants us to walk close with Him and to have that relationship that no matter what, whatever comes our way, the trials, the tribulations, the storm, that we will reach out and say, Lord, can I come? And we will walk on the water. This is His word. This is His message. Thank you.
Good morning. How many want more of God? See your hands. I'm going to tell you why I'm asking that question, because we had a worship service here on Friday night. Maybe a handful of people here, but God's presence was so strong here Friday night. I believe that God is saying, okay, I want to give you more. But to get more, you got to go for it. You got to go after it. You know, and this is just a challenge for me, that our next worship night that we have on a Friday night, I invite you guys to come, because God is getting ready to move. God is getting ready to move. Yes, I do believe there's a storm coming, brother. But like he said, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you don't have to worry about the storm.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Keep your eyes on Him, and that storm is going to diminish in your life. And if you're going through a storm right now, if there's something in your heart right now, something that maybe that you need prayer for, raise your hands and we'll pray from here right now. If there's something you need prayer for, this is the body of Christ. We're here to pray with you.
Amen.
We're here to intercede. And it doesn't matter what it is, we're here. We love you guys, and God bless you.
This morning I woke up and I asked the Lord to give me a word for the church. And I kept asking and praying, and I started to read Psalms, and for whatever reason I just couldn't get into it. So I decided to head over a little bit early to my Nana and Tata's and spend some time over there. And it was there that the Lord didn't give me a word for you guys, but He gave me a word for myself. And that word was, be a doer and not a sayer. And the verses that I got, I believe, was in James, when it says, a sayer deceiveth his own heart, and a doer glorifies the Lord. And I just wanted to bring that up to you guys and ask you, if you're being doers, if you're being practitioners of the word, if you're going out there and living this thing. And for me, that was really powerful. And I just wanted to have something to give back to you guys, because you guys are constantly giving to me and feeding me. And this place is so special to me. And I thank the Lord for all of you and all of the inspiration and motivation you give me to continue in the faith. So thank you very much.
So, you know, I feel like I've been up here a lot, like asking people, you know, just to find your calling. You're hearing it from a lot of people right now. It's just like, do it, do it, do it. And I love that verse in James, you know, not to only be a hearer of the word, but do what it says. And, you know, I heard Rick on that worship night. He said something that kind of triggered something to me, because like there's scripture, like right now I can't escape from. And then Rebecca said, practice. And that word's in that scripture too. But in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, the end of the chapter, talking about the prophet Ezekiel. And then it says that the people from around the town are saying, hey, let's go hear what the Lord has to say. And they seem excited about it. They seem they want to hear it. But then he says, they come to hear, but they don't put your words into practice. And then it says they see you as somebody who's there to entertain. That you, they see you as a singer who sings love songs and plays an instrument well, but they don't put your words into practice. The thing about the gospel is that it's so simple. In Romans, it tells us all you need to do is, let me read it so I don't mess it up. This is Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So when you say Jesus is Lord, do you realize what it means to say he is Lord? That he's Lord over everything in your life. That you're here to serve him. And the thing is like when we hear it being a servant of any kind, it sounds terrible. It sounds like, you know, oh my gosh, I gotta do work. Yeah, it is work. But you know, I just had this thing during worship night too, where God just like blessed me. One of the kids in the youth group, he came up. And he said, you know, there's this friend I had. So I invited him to youth group. And I'll tell you, there's not a lot of kids in youth group right now. There's not. But I don't see it as this thing where I'm like, oh, I gotta go. There's only a few kids. Why would I even bother? Because I see this as God has given me this purpose in my life, and I have to do it to the best of my ability because it can impact generations to come, even if it is only a few for right now. I may never see the promise that comes of it, but I know that God has given me something to do and I need to do it. And the blessing I received was he said, I got this friend, I invited him, he came once, and he's like, I didn't really like it, I'm kind of bored. And then he invited another kid, and then the other kid's like, well, I want to go back. So he does. And then turns out it's gonna be his birthday. And it's a good thing my wife is a good listener, because she found out exactly what he wanted, some ice cream cake to celebrate. And so we celebrated his birthday here. And then he's like, I had so much fun. He's like, you know what? And he's telling this to his friend that invited him. He's like, hey, I want to go to heaven. What do I need to do? So he just tells him, you just need to believe. And, you know, for me, I wasn't the one that, like, led him to the Lord, you know, in some dramatic fashion or anything like that. But, you know, just being here, being consistent, my wife being here, being consistent, you know, this church being here, it facilitated all of that. That it is worth it if there's only just a few kids, because this impacts that kid's life for eternity, not just for the life that it lives on this earth, but for eternity. The things that God has given us to do has eternal implications. So I would just say, you know, when, you know, just think about it. Do you want to get to heaven and hear, Lord, well done, my good and faithful servant, because that's what I want to hear. And there's no task that is too small. Everything works together for this greater purpose. So I just encourage you to find that and to be a part of that. Because you know what? It's not your job to define you. It's not your hobbies. It's not like what you like to do or anything like that. It is what God has built you to be. So I encourage you, find that today. Find it.
We have one more song, and I'm really excited about it because we've heard a lot of really good words this morning. And with it, I felt like God brought a scripture to mind. It's Proverbs 8:19. It says, my fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. And I just want to tell you, it's Proverbs 8. It actually talks about wisdom. And how the wisdom that he gives us is more valuable than so many other things in our life. And I just want to encourage you. We've had some really good words. Take it home. Take it home. Look in the Bible. Allow him to speak to you. Allow him to give you some things. Because just like Abe just said, when we make room for him to do what he wants to do in our lives, it has eternal effects on our life. It's got such great effects on our life. So let's just allow him to do that. Let's allow him to move and do what he wants to do.
Ooh, hallelujah. Let's give him a word. Let's give him a praise again. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing, God. Lord, have your way, God. Have your way, Father. Father, amen, amen. I mean, God bless you. Yeah, give somebody a high five or just a smile, if anything. Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's good to have you in the house this morning. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Whew, I got fired up in that. Man, I'll tell you what. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah. Ooh, hallelujah. Hey, let me just remind you, if you want to give to the family first, if you got a donation, grab a card, an envelope there and put it, and make sure you mark it family first, whatever it is, and that way we can get that to them. That if you got cash, stick it in an envelope and mark it family first. That way it gets to them, okay? Otherwise, we're going to take it off. No, I'm just crazy. Praise God. So do that. Claire, Frank, thank you so much for coming and sharing. And, you know, we would like to see some video from you guys, okay? Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. What day is it today? It's the Lord's Day. Come on. What is today? Praise God. If you will, open your Bibles to John chapter 5. We'll get you home soon, okay? 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and I'm always telling you that. One of these days is going to happen. Amen? Hallelujah. One of these days, God's just going to lay us all out in here. We'll wake up around 3 and say, hey, man, haven't had a sermon yet. All right, let's go. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ooh, you know what? I'm praying for that for our White House. How's that? Our Congress. You know what? God needs to move in that building. Is that right? I just pray for that. Say, Lord, just hey, let your power be known in the White House. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Can you imagine the news? Woo, hallelujah. They're laying all over the place. Hallelujah. They look like one. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. How many are, you know, that we need to be one? The body of Christ needs to be one. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to be one, you know, one God, one mind. I mean, God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. How many say amen for that? Hey, next week is Pentecost Sunday. Let me say amen. Amen. You know, what happened on Pentecost? Ooh, come on. The world will never, ever be the same because of that. Amen. Never be the same because of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm one of them. Yeah, I'm one of them. Amen, Pastor? Amen. I'm one of them. Yo, this is one of them churches, right? Yeah, yeah. Y'all speaking that funny language. Yeah, yeah, you're one of them. Yeah, I'm one of them, man. Praise God. I'm one of them. I'm one of them, man. God, praise God. God is good. Amen? Woo. I used to have a king. His name was Budweiser. That was my king, king of beers. Amen. Hallelujah. But then I met the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, and he changed my life. Hallelujah. Never thought I'd be doing this. That's for sure. Amen. Praise God. This had not even crossed my mind back then. Amen. Praise God. The Word of God says that when you're in Christ, you become a new creature. Amen? I'm a new creature. How many say amen to that? I'm a new man in Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. His promises are real. Can I say that to you? I'm going to say that over and over again. His promises are real. They've always been yes and amen to whoever you are. If you'll just believe him. Just believe him. Amen? Hallelujah. What day is today? I'm going to bring that. Praise God. If you're there, John chapter 5, we're going to start at verse 1. Hallelujah. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Praise God. Amen. How'd you like that? You imagine the mad dash for that pool? because he only got one. The first one in gets it. Amen? You ever been in a school when they'd line up for lunch? Come on, man. It's a madhouse. Praise God. Watch all those kids. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. Saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus didn't ask for all that, did he? Jesus already knew that, didn't he? He knew he'd been there a long time. He said, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be whole? Would you to be whole? Jesus said unto him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. Everybody say the Sabbath. Sabbath. It was a Sabbath day. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath. I love this. I love this story. Hey, pick up your bed and go home. Amen? Hallelujah. Guy looks at him, stands up, picks up his bed, did exactly what he was told. Amen? Praise God. I love this story. The Jews therefore said to him that was cured, what day is it? No, do you know what day it is, bro? They said, it is a Sabbath day. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. And he answered them, he that made me whole, the same said to me, take up thy bed and walk. And they asked him, what man is it that said to you, take up your bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. And afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said to him, behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto you. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jesus persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. You see the mindset of the Jewish leaders. They wanted not just to tell him that he'd done wrong. What does it say? They wanted to kill him. They wanted to slay him because he did a what? A healing. What kind of mindset thinks like that? It's a mindset that doesn't know God, amen? They don't understand. Have no compassion for people. This guy was there 38 years and they did nothing about it, amen? And now here Jesus comes along and boom, he's healed. And all they want to do is tell him, hey, you can't carry your bed, bro. Come on, man. Makes them look real smart, doesn't it? Makes them look like very intelligent. Dude, I just got healed. And he told me to carry it. Who told you? Now they want to kill Jesus because he healed them. Isn't that crazy? What kind of mindset is that? And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But when Jesus answered them, my Father works hitherto, and I work. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, and I like this part, but said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Amen? Not only did Jesus break the Sabbath, but the Bible says that he said, my Father works, and so do I. He brought something so different to the Jewish ears that they weren't ready for it. How many say amen to that? He told them, God is my Father. He didn't call him Jehovah, Jireh, Jehovah. He said, my Father, God, my Father. He brought the concept of the fatherhood of God. How many say amen to that? And they didn't like it. How many say they didn't like it? They were upset with him. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, folks, if they hated him, they're going to hate you. He said that to us. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. So don't get overexcited when people don't like you. I say amen to that. Amen. Come on. It's all right. They didn't like Jesus. It's okay. But you keep loving them. You keep speaking to them. You keep helping them. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus, how many of you think that Jesus knew what day it was? Come on, Jesus. How many of you know that you can find a lot of scripture in there where Jesus did things on the Sabbath day? How many say amen to that? Come on, Jesus, what's wrong with you? It's the Sabbath day. Don't you understand these things? Amen? Hallelujah. Can I tell you that today, I think one of the reasons God has me speaking on this today is because of the fact that there are a lot of people that read about, I mean, good meaning Christians. Let me tell you, it's not that they're not good folks and they love God, because I believe a lot of them do love God and a lot of them are desiring to do what's good. But I will tell you that there are people out there that will tell you as a Christian, you cannot go to church on Sunday. That's not the Sabbath day. You have to have services on Saturday. I will tell you that there is a lady that doesn't go to this church, and she's been after me quite a bit. Every time she sees me, she says, "Are you still holding services on Sunday?" I say, "Yeah, I am." And she goes, "You're teaching your people wrong, and you're going to have to pay for it. You will have to answer for it," is what she told me. And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay, I understand. I understand what you're saying." And I said, "But you know, I really do believe that if you would talk to me, if you give me a chance to explain some things." She goes, No. And she goes, "If you can't even figure out that you have to have service on Saturday, why should I listen to you on other things?" I said, "Okay, all right. I love you." I mean, and we say, "Amen." Hey, sister, you're a sister, and it's okay. Praise God. But I believe God has wanted me to, has been placing this on my heart, because next week is Pentecost Sunday. How do you say amen to that? And being that, I believe that it's very, very, very critical today that the body of Christ understands what God is saying to them. Amen? I believe it's critical. I believe that God is desiring the body of Christ to become one on the earth. How many say amen to that? To think the same. I mean, that's why the scriptures actually tell us we have been given the mind of Christ. How many say, yeah? Is that right? Does the Bible say that? Yes, it does. God says, the Bible also says that we're to renew our minds, right? Is that correct? Brainwash? Yeah, okay. Whatever. But the Spirit of God does that for you. Amen? And it's a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. So I want to talk to you today about the Sabbath, because I believe that what people believe about the Sabbath, just like this lady, it's separating the body of Christ. Do you understand what I'm telling you? And God doesn't want his body in pieces. He says they're going to be one. The Holy Spirit will draw them together and make us one. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the Sabbath. And you know, I don't know, you're here on Sunday, so I don't think there's anybody that thinks they need to be worshiping on Saturday, and if they do, it's okay, it's a good idea. Worship God on Saturday. Worship God on Monday. Worship God on Tuesday. Worship God on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because I'm going to show you that the rest that he's talking about is every day. This is the power verse. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice in it, because today is the day. Amen? Amen. Now let's look at it in scripture. I want you to see it. Hallelujah. So I'm going to take you back a bit. Let's go to creation. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. So in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, God had just got through making light, and the light separated the day and the night. Is that okay? And the word of God says there that the evening and the morning were the first day. Okay, I'm not going to show you that right now. I'm just going to run you through it, because it's a lot of stuff. So here's the second day. It says, in the second day, the sky was made. God calls it the heaven in the King James, but it's the sky. It was a separation between the earth and it's the atmosphere. The sky was made, okay, on the second day. And on the second day, the Bible says right at the end, after he got finished making the sky, that day, it says there was evening and morning, the second day. Is that cool? Hallelujah. Day two. Day three. God made land, oceans, grass, and trees. Calm. In the evening and the morning, or the third day. Day four, God made the sun, the moon, the stars, and the evening and the morning was the fourth day. Day five, God made birds and fish. I mean, say amen to that. Rosie and I are looking for birds, and we're going to buy we're thinking a cockatiel or a, oh yeah, because she needs somebody to talk to. Hallelujah. And I need somebody that will listen. Yeah, I'm just kidding. I love you, babe. Praise God. God made birds and the fish on the fifth day, and it says in the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And the word of God says that God on the sixth day created the animals and mankind. Amen. Created in his image and gave them dominion and said, submit, he goes, and gave man the dominion to subdue the earth and to take dominion over it. Amen. Praise God. That was God's purpose for man. He says, hey, this whole thing is for you. I will not interfere. How many of you know that God won't interfere? God is he's a judge. He knows how to operate correctly. So when he gave man the earth, he said, you're in charge, bro. Amen? Hallelujah. How many know you're in charge? Come on. He's giving you authority. How many know that? Praise God. It's just a wonderful story. But Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 1, this is what we can bring up. Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 1, verses 1, 2, and 3 says this. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. Amen? He rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he rested from all his work, which God created and made. Amen? How is it? God rested on the seventh day. Is that right? I want you to notice, you won't find this in your Bible where it says this. You will not see in your scriptures that the Bible says that the evening and the morning were the seventh day. You won't find that in there. Basically, God left it open. Is that okay with you? Do you say amen to that? Amen to that, okay? There's a reason. It was almost 430 years later where Moses came on the scene. Well, Abraham, can I tell you that there was no Ten Commandments during Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's time? How do you know that? Do you know that? Well, how did they celebrate the Sabbath? They didn't. They didn't. They didn't know about it. They didn't. God didn't say. You can look through the scriptures. You're going to see that God never said anything to them about the Sabbath. Here we are in 2021. You got to do it on Saturday. No, you got to do it on Sunday. We can't get it right. How many say, there's a problem there. There needs to be some understanding here. Amen. Come on. Woo. Hallelujah. And I will tell you, if you're going to get an understanding, it's not going to come from this guy. It's not going to come from these guys. Not going to come, folks. You're going to find it in the Word of God. That's the only place to find it. If you got a question about, hey, should it be Saturday? Should it be Sunday? Should it be Tuesday? How about Wednesday night? Because that's when... I don't know if you remember the guy. I don't know if I can remember his name, but he used to always say, he would always get hamburgers from Popeye, and he's saying, I'll gladly pay you on Tuesday. Oh, yeah. Remember, what was his name? Wimpy. Yeah, come on. Wimpy. Maybe it's on Tuesday. Amen? Here we are today, in our world today, the body of Christ is arguing over what day you meet. It's not right. It is not right. Come on. Hallelujah. Yes, I understand that the Word of God 6 days says that, you know, when the law came, it says you honor the Sabbath day. Honor the Sabbath day. And the Word of God says that Moses and all his house began, they honored the Sabbath day. How many say amen to that? Let me take it. Let me show you this. Hallelujah. Let's go. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 19. Oh, boy. Hebrews 3, 7 through 19. This is what the Word of God says. As wherefore, do you see that parentheses? You see that? That is an added thought. go all the way to it. Can you switch all the way down to verse, I think, 17? I think is that one. Where is that? Where's it at? Try 18. I mean, go on to the next page. Where's the end? Where's that last end, that other parentheses end? Where's it at? I think, is it after the word unbelief? Where's it at? They shall not enter into my rest. Is that right? Do you see that? Where's that? That's at the end of verse 11. See, so that is an, I mean, you know, that parenthesis is an added thought, just to give you some more information. So it actually starts, when we start to read, it says, wherefore, it's going to go, I mean, leave out the parentheses, it's going to say, take heed, brethren, in the next verse. So it actually goes, wherefore, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, all right? So I'm going to go back where it says, wherefore, and this is the beginning of the parenthesis. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, who's he talking about? The Holy Ghost, amen? As he says, he says, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice. What day is today? You know, I want to make you guys look real bright, but I think it's today. Let me say, I'm going to fight with you about that, but today is today. Isn't that right, Frank? Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation. See, this is the Holy Spirit speaking this. I was grieved with that whole generation and said they do always err in their heart. How many know God doesn't want us to be erring? He wants us to be right on. How many say he wants us to be right? That's what righteousness does for you. It makes you right. All right? He said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. You see that? You know that word, that rest is the Sabbath. They will not enter into my Sabbath. It's actually in Sabbath, is the way you say it. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it's called today. Everybody say today. When's the day? Today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, everybody say today. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, they provoked. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. How many didn't provoke? Do you guys remember? Two. Dos vatos, two guys, man, just two, Caleb and Joshua, the only two that didn't provoke God. How many know that those are the only two that went into the whole bunch that at first that said, no, we can't go in? Well, he took another several thousand folks in there, but they were all the kids of the generation that said, no, we can't do it. Can I tell you, God is serious about having us understand the things that he's doing and what he's doing for us. So watch this. He says, was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom he swore that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter into that rest because they didn't believe. Everybody say that to your neighbor. They didn't believe. They couldn't get in. Say it to them. Tell your person next to you, they couldn't believe, so they didn't get in. How many want in to what God has for you? How many are that kind of person that whatever God has for you, I want to get into it. Is that right? Whatever it is that he has for you, Lord, I want in. Amen. Hallelujah. It's like a poker game. I'm in. I want in. Hallelujah. God, whatever you got, I want in. Let's go to chapter 4. And we're just going to read down to, I mean, write these down, because I will tell you, we as a body of Christ really need to be informed. Write these down and take a look at them, and you decide what the rest is, what the Sabbath is. I'm not trying to tell you, hey, that you got to believe what I say. You take a look at the Word of God and allow God to speak these things to you. Because I'm not going to place my position. I'm not going to place myself in that position where if you don't speak the same thing that I speak, then you have to leave. I don't do that. Amen? How many know that? How many know? Listen, I'm going to say something to you. And listen to me. When I received my calling, when God gave me a vision and a word of my calling, the vision, you guys, most of you have seen the vision that I showed you. It's the upper pool vision where the pond and the water and the man and the fields. And the man was speaking, and as he was speaking, this water coming out of his mouth, and it was growing. The fields were growing because of the water that was coming out of the man's mouth. That was the vision God gave me while I was a youth pastor. Had no idea I was going to be in a house like this. But when he gave me the vision, he gave me a scripture. And the scripture is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. It says this, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Can I tell you something? Reproving, rebuking, and exhorting was not something that I really, really thought I could do. But the Holy Spirit says, oh, no, I'll help you do that. But I just want you to hear this, because there are people with calls on their life that God has placed on them. And listen, look. I have no intention of trying to lead anybody wrong. The only intention I have is to speak what God tells me to speak. That's the part where he says, preach my word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Can I tell you, sometimes you're going to hear some weird stuff come out of this pulpit. How many say amen to that? How many of you guys are, what? What do you mean we're not going to die? What? What do you mean we're... when you hear some of those things, the reason I'm saying them to you is not because I have not looked at them. It's not because I have not studied. When God says it to me, I say, God, I don't know about that. I don't know. He says, well, get in there and find out, and I'll show you. And I'll look in the scriptures, and I'll begin to find these things that God has been speaking to the house, that he wants me to speak to the house. He wants me confident in the things that I say, so that I can speak what he wants. How many know it's important that a man of God needs to be faithful to what he hears? Amen. And that's what my position is. And whether, I know I say some weird stuff. I know. I do. I've even told God, God, they ain't going to believe it. They're going to look at me like they're crazy. I think my daughter and son, is that right? Where's my daughter? I think my daughter and son were talking. Uh-oh. Dad's talking about this. You know what they're going to think about us now? But I have to speak what God gives me to speak to the body of Christ. If I just gave you everything that you want to hear, what is that? What is that? Come on. So the one part that I really find helpful to me is, says, with all long suffering and doctrine. Though I'm giving folks good doctrine to look at, and though I sense them saying, you're weird, bro. I understand that God says, it's not up to you, Henry. It's up to my spirit. What you're doing is seeding a generation. Seed the generation. Seed the generation. Seed the generation. Terry. Seed the generation. And you watch what happens. Got to follow God. Amen? So when we look at something like this, and I really do believe that God is speaking to the whole body of Christ in this. I hope there's a lot of folks that hear this online, because online they're going to hear something that the Sabbath is something more than they've even thought it was. So watch this. Here we are. We're in Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to get in my Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4 says this. The writer seems to reiterate this a lot, but he says, let us therefore fear lest the promise of being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. I want you to see that. For we which have believed, the word of God says, we enter into his rest. Is that what it says? We which have believed, you enter into his rest. Even though you might not understand what this rest is and what it's like, because you believe, the Bible says you've entered in. There's a lot of brothers and sisters out there that are saying, well, you got to do it on Saturday. You got to do it on Sunday. Well, guess what, brother? Because I believe, I'm in that rest. I mean, say amen to that. Do you understand? Is that clear? Is that helpful? Let me just take you on with this, because you're going to see that. I want to read that scripture again. It says, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Now, I want you to look at this. It says, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. You see that? So what God has done from the beginning has already done everything. Is that okay with you? That's why from the beginning, when he looked at the creation on that sixth day, he looked at it and he goes, this is very good. Not just good. He looked at it and he didn't say, well, that's good. That's good enough. He didn't say that. He looked at it and he said, this is very good. But you see, God has an ability. How many know that? I am the beginning and the what? And the first and the... He has an ability to see from the beginning all the way down to what? Bang. Bingo. The end. He has that ability to see. So I believe when God was looking at the creation, when he was done with all the works that he had done, which was your life, my life, everybody in the room's life, everybody, that what he had planned and purposed, he looked at it. When he saw it at the end, he goes, that's it. It's good. Come on, man. That don't want to get you excited. That gets me excited. Because that tells me that God is taking you someplace. How many say amen to that? Can I tell you, your age does nothing to do with what God's plan is. How many say amen to that? Age has nothing to do with it. Woo, it's talked. You are entered into life and life more abundant. How many say amen to that? The minute you believe Jesus died for your sin, bam-o, you're a new creation in Christ. That's what the word of God says. Woo. Sometimes we just don't know it. Does that mean say amen? There's so much, God, there's so much in the gospel of Christ. Like Abe was saying, it's so simple and it's so big. Amen? It's a simple message. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. Simple message. But yet that message opens up into a huge, vast room with lots of things for you. How many say amen to that? Woo, come on, man. Hallelujah. Although the works were finished from the beginning. So God is talking about a rest for us. Do you see that? He's talking about rest here. He's talking about the creation, when he rested. Not the law. How many know that the word of God in Romans chapter 8, I didn't give you this one, but it says that the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, right? Has made me free from the what? The law of sin and death. The law of sin and death was what? Moses, the Ten Commandments. But the law of the Spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. Come on. I don't know. You guys don't get, I'll get excited about this. I will tell you that you are in life. Sin and death has nothing to do with you. It's been wiped out by the blood of the Lamb of God. How many say amen to that? Woo, come on. It's important that we all see the same thing. Hallelujah. But look in your, if you say, well, I don't know if I get that. How many say amen? I've been like that. I don't know if I get that, God. I don't know. I mean, how many know that we are to try the Spirit, see if they're of God? How many say amen to that? We are to test things. But the only way you're going to test them is you don't go run to your Pastor Henry. Hey, Henry, what do you think about this? Hey, what? I mean, I don't know. Why don't you find it from God? Why don't you go to God? Why don't you go to the scriptures and look at these things? Amen? Hallelujah. You're in God's kingdom. Ask him. He'll tell you. You got a question? Ask him. Amen? You'll find it. He'll answer it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, where was I? Verse 4, it says, he spoke in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise. God did rest from all his works. You see that? And said, and this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing, therefore, it remains that some must enter in. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of what? Belief. Again, he limits a certain day, saying in David, I want to take you to this one. This is in the Psalms. David is prophesying. All right, so let's go to Psalm. You probably already have it up there, bro. 95, verses 6 through 11. Look at this. He's referencing the word that was spoken in the Psalms when David prophesied. And here's what David said. Oh, come and let us worship and bow down. Do you guys remember that? Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Amen? Yeah. No, does anybody know the song? No? Yeah. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, right? And the sheep of his hand. Everybody go, bah. Yeah, we are the sheep of his hand, yeah. And then it says, this is what he penned. He says, today. What day is today? Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter in my rest. See that? David prophesied that again in the Psalms. God is saying something, folks. So God is saying something. He goes, hey, listen. Believe that you've entered into the rest. That's what he says in Hebrew. In Hebrews where he said that, where I spoke that, it's in verse 3. He says, they which have believed do enter into the rest. All right? Again, he limits a certain day in David, saying today, if after so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus, that Jesus there, folks, listen, that's Joshua. And the King James has translated Jesus. But that means Joshua going into the promised land. He said, if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. How many say amen? Amen. How many need rest? Yeah. I mean, praise God. I was talking, my son-in-law, he's always at my man. I've been working hard, man. I'm tired. I said, yeah. Everybody, how many like rest? Do you enjoy your rest? Do you enjoy taking the time and just, you know, sitting down in your favorite chair, grabbing a nice big glass of tea, as I can, sitting down with that thing, putting your feet up, and it's quiet, or you might have some light music like going on in here, and you're just enjoying your rest. Amen? Might even take a little snooze. Amen? If you're like me, I can't watch TV. Every time I sit down and get in front of that TV, man, I'm out. And I look over at my wife, and she's, I said, why are we spending money? I mean, what's with this money? I got stuff coming out of my mouth. No. That's gross. Yeah, come on. How many enjoy your rest? Oh, come on, man. We're people that like to rest, aren't we? Oh, yeah. After a good, hard day of work, man, get home, take off your shoes, take a shower, and go rest. Hallelujah. Check it out. It says, if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have spoken of another day. There therefore remains a rest to the people of God. To you, every one of us, there is a rest. And I'm ready. Although I know the Holy Spirit wants, I'm getting excited because I know that the Holy Spirit is saying, say it. Just say it. It says, for he that has entered into his rest has also done this. Listen to me. You've ceased from your own works. Is that cool? Can I tell you, you don't have to work to get into heaven. All you got to do is believe in Jesus Christ. But what you do have to do, what does work with God, when God tells you to do something, when he gives you, it is important that the people of God become obedient to what God is saying to them. That's why I will not tell you, you have to clean the bathrooms in this church. I will never do that. If you want to clean the bathroom, it's got to come up from your heart and where God is saying, hey, man, go over there because that guy don't know what he's doing when he's cleaning toilets. How's that? Is that okay? I will not do that because I believe God is in charge. How many say amen? Can I tell you that we're already in rest? You're already in rest because God says, hey, man, I'm not going to love you anymore because of what you do. Is that right? You know, there's a lot of people that want to be real busy. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And they do it. And to me, I go, you know, hey, man, make sure you don't burn yourself out. How many say amen to that? Amen. Do what God wants you to do, and you will never burn yourself out. How many say amen? So watch this. Oh, there. Yeah. For he that entered into his rest, he also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, it's kind of a, let us labor to enter into rest. Is that right? You got to work to get to rest. Is that right? Is that what it means? Yeah, I think so. Let us labor to enter into that rest. In other words, I think God is saying, he says, I want you to know this. I need you to think about this. How about, can I tell you that thinking can be a work? How do you say that? Working, sometimes, I mean, I know that engineers, how many engineers I got in the building? 2, 3, 4. Look at all these engineers. We got engineers in the building. Can thinking about that be work? Absolutely. So it's kind of a labor, isn't it? But so in the things of God, God wants you to look at these things. Let them look at them and allow him to speak to you. Labor to get to where God wants you to go, okay? So I want to show you what the rest is. This is what the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Look at this. This is what Jesus said while he was on. He says, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How many of you know that Jesus probably broke the Sabbath more than any Jew that we know of? How many of you know that? What is wrong with you, Jesus? Come on. And he says this, come to me. I believe Jesus was trying to show, hey, there's a different rest out there, and I want to give it to you. And he says this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How many say amen to that? Amen. And then he says this Mark chapter 2, verses 27 through 28 says this. He said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. How many say amen to that? It's not, hey, we're not made to be just falling around. Hey, well, it's a Sabbath day. No. The Sabbath, the rest was made for you. But Jesus says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. How many say amen? See, God, Jesus is the only one that can give you rest, real rest. The rest you need. Is that right? Come on, Pastor, it's getting late. Give us the rest of the story. Yeah, come on, man. Now check this out. I want you to look at this. John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38. Look at what Jesus says here. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, I'm going to just put this picture. It was the last day of the feast, and what they would do, they would take a big boulder out in the middle of the center there, and the priest would come over, and they would pour water over that rock. It would be the symbol when the water in the desert poured out of the rock. That's all they were doing. They were bringing the symbolism to them. And Jesus is watching them, and he's looking at them, and then he says this, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come to me, amen, and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall what? Flow rivers of what? Living water. Can I tell you, we're getting close to the real rest. We're getting close to the rest that God has for the people of God. Hallelujah. John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. That's the one we just read. Isaiah chapter 58, 11 through 14. Check out this scripture. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. How many say amen to that? How many want God to guide you? Amen? Hallelujah. Hey, do I buy a Dodge or a Chevy? God will lead you. Amen? I knew it. That's why I fit. All right. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy your soul in drought. How many like your soul being satisfied? How does he satisfy your soul? With natural food? Come on. No. Come on, look at it. He says, and make fat your bones. How many want fat bones? Come on, man. You know, bones bring is where you get your blood and your blood and your strength and everything. Oh, come on. It's a neat thing. It says, and you shall be like a what? Watered garden. I mean, just look at the picture he's painting for you. You're going to be like a watered garden. Carrots coming out of your hair. Come on, man. You'll be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters, listen, look at what he's saying, whose waters fail not. It says, and they that be of thee shall build the old waste places and shall raise up the foundation of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. How would you like to be that? See, it's because Christ dwelling in you, you restore. God dwelling in you, you're part of the kingdom of God in the earth, restoring the earth to where, it's beautiful. The restorer of paths to dwell in, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath. Now check this. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, what's he talking about? The rest. From doing what? From doing thy own. Pleasure on my holy day. And call the Sabbath a delight. Is that right? From doing your own pleasure on his holy day. What holy day is that? Today. Today is the day. Is that right? That's what we just got through reading in Hebrews. Today is the day. It is the Sabbath. He said, and call the Sabbath a delight. What day is that? Today. You call it today is the delight. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Hallelujah. Call it a delight. The holy of the Lord, honorable. This is the day you're living in, folks. You shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure. Come on. Amen. Why? Because you have laid down your life for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you've taken up your cross and you're following him. It's not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, nor speaking even your own words. He says, then you shall delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob thy father. He says this, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Amen. This water that will be within you, we read that in Isaiah 58, this water that will be within you will be springing up. Amen. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow a river of water springing up unto what? Everlasting life. Hallelujah. Let me show you. Look at this. Here it is, Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 through 13. Woo, I can't wait to get to this. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Everybody raise your hand. Raise your hand. Whom will he teach him? He's going to teach it to you. Whom shall he make to know and understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. In other words, no more are you a baby in Christ, but you are able to go to God for the answers you need on a one-on-one basis. How many say amen? We are independently dependent on God in this house. How many say amen? I would say to you, God wants you to go to him to find out your spiritual needs. Amen? He will help you. He'll bring you through them. Amen? Praise God. And he says this, whom will he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. And then he says that for precept must be upon precept, right? And that's what I've been doing to you all morning. I've been giving you precept upon precept. Line upon line, here a little, there a little. And then he says this, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. What's that? What is the stammering lips and another tongue, folks? Nobody wants to. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is when God begins to speak through you. You see, the Bible says in Zechariah, he says this, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit. Everything has to come through the Spirit of God in today's world for the body of Christ. If it's not the Spirit of God, it's not God. Amen? You don't want it. And then he says, with stammering lips and another tongue, shall he speak to this people? Now this is, watch what he says. To whom he said, look at this. This is the rest. What? This is the rest wherein you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing, but they what? Would not. You see, the rest that God is talking about is the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Because it's in the baptism of the Holy Ghost where you find in Romans 8, he says that the Spirit prays through you according to the will of God. It's not you anymore. It's him praying. He does the work. You allow the Spirit to pray and you watch what happens. One more time, once again, I'll say this to you. I never asked God to be a pastor. Never did. I never asked him. And I told him, God, and my wife told me, she says, I think God wants us to pastor a church. I told her, no, shut up. It's not me. I don't know what you're talking about, babe. And then she'd come and tell me again. I said, Rosie, stop it. She goes, no, I think God's telling us that we need to be pastoring. No. We got a little Bible study going on. We're doing good. How many say amen to that? I got some people coming over. Man, that's good enough. I'm doing what I... And I was in a church in Tucson at the time, and Pastor David Swift, who preached there last Sunday, he stopped in the middle of a sermon, made Rosie and I stand up and said, you're not a, he told me, you are not a miner. I was working in the mines. You are a pastor, and God cannot bless what you're pretending to be. He said that to me. Rosie is poking me in the rib. I told you. And I feeling this hot warmth coming all over. It hit me like an arrow. And I realized that God had been speaking to me through my wife. Is that okay? Come on. How many say wives can do that sometimes? Yeah, come on. God, whatever you want. And I was telling the congregation one morning that I said, hey, I never prayed to be a pastor. Never asked God to do it. Didn't want to be a pastor. And on the way home, I started praying. I fell asleep and I started praying in the spirit while I was asleep. And I woke myself up and I asked Rosie, she asked me, are you okay? And I said, yeah. She goes, was I praying long? She goes, no, you actually just started. Felt like I'd prayed for a while. But when I relaxed and I was starting to go back to sleep, the Holy Spirit said something to me. He said this, oh, you prayed for this, Henry. You just didn't know you were praying for it. Can I tell you, it is a rest like no other rest. When you're having problems in your family, you go home, you get by your bed or you get by your tree, your favorite, wherever you go, and you pray and you learn, you pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to say it again. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Because God will pray through you and you'll see your answers. You'll see your children. You'll see all those things. You'll see the blessings of the Lord and you'll become like a watered garden. Because you're praying and you've entered into the rest of God. Hallelujah. This is what God is talking about. The Sabbath. It's not a day. It's today. Amen. Come on. Amen. It's not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yes, it is. It's all those days. Every day as being a believer, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand and let's pray. Hallelujah. For those of you that have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to pray this morning that God would baptize you with His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Whether you're at home, whether you're walking in Safeway, whether you're, whatever you're doing. Hallelujah. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was feeding my cow one time. My horses. I had a whole herd. I had one horse and one cow. And I was singing. I had been seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost for I would say about a year. I wasn't real sure. But I'm singing. I'm at glory. I said, This is the day that the Lord had made, had the hay. And I threw it over the fence in the trough that the horses eat out of. And these words came out of my mouth. And I go, whoo. I ran inside, called my pastor. I said, Pastor, I was feeding the horses and I started speaking in tongues. And he said, I got two things for you. I said, all right. He says, number one, hang up the phone. Number two, go back to do what you were doing. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something. That day, I have spoken in tongues every day in my life, as far as I know. It is for the body of Christ. It is the rest of God. It's what God wants you to rest in so that he will do whatever he wants to do in your life. You got to make room for him. Make room for him. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you. Woo. Pentecost Sunday is next week. I'm believing that everybody in the house will be praying in the Spirit. Amen. Father, I thank you this morning for your body. I thank you for the body of Christ, God. I ask you, Father God, that the rest that you have described to us, Father God, that every child of God would receive that rest in the name of Jesus, I pray. If you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. Hey, shake somebody, sing a song with us before we go, and then have a great week. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.